Podtacular episode 321, Infinity Multiplayer, for October 18th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dustorm.
I'm your co-host, Daftwing.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And this week we are talking about Infinity Multiplayer. We have had a lot of information about multiplayer come out, but we now have a nice little wrapped up package and video that 343 showed off at New York Comic Con this last weekend, which I was fortunate enough to go to and hang out with some cool Halo people and some 343 staff as well. And I have to say, it was a lot of fun, and getting more time on hands-on with the multiplayer, I say that this game, I cannot wait for any much longer. These 3 weeks cannot go by fast enough for me.
I'm going to explode if I don't get to play Halo 4.
Yeah, that's great.
I am so ready for this game. I hope everyone else out there is too, and that you'll be getting this game as soon as you can.
No, they're listening to this. They're probably like, whatever, yeah, play whenever. Yeah.
Everyone who listens to this, hopefully, if you have the means, you have pre-ordered it already. And if not, then hopefully you have plans to get it for Christmas, or you are begging someone around you to get it for you for Christmas. Because this is a game that you are not going to want to miss out on.
I know a guy who can either get the game on launch day, or can get the bundle with like the Halo 4 console and the game on Christmas. So he's just waiting for Christmas for all that like good stuff.
Yeah. And I said, if you want to wait till Christmas, then that's a way to do it.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money now. Yeah, I know. You're going to be behind. People are going to be miles ahead of you in terms of Spartan rank. But if you have to wait till Christmas, then I guess there's not much you can do.
Well, even more than just Spartan rank, they're going to be ahead of you in terms of experience. Understanding the new gameplay mechanics.
Yeah, figuring out what primary weapons they like to use the best on which maps and in which situations.
You're going to get BR'd in the face on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to end up being like Call of Duty. If you start late, you get the crap guns first and everyone else is just like nuking you.
No, it's not. I mean, the AR is very decent and it works very effective up close. All the primary weapons are balanced in a very specific way, and they all work very well. And actually, when I was playing at New York Comic Con, I found the Storm Rifle very effective at close range. I outshot someone with a BR at close range with the Storm Rifle. So every primary weapon does have a time and a place to be used.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
So, and that's even the gun that I wasn't really excited about at all, you know.
I know.
I thought the storm rifle was like plasma repeater redo.
Plasma repeater was actually a cool gun, in my opinion. Plasma repeater, it can be effective if you shoot close. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's actually a really cool plasma repeater montage that was once in
a montage for a plasma repeater.
Yeah, there's a plasma repeater montage. It's like the only one in existence on YouTube.
And I'm sure there's more than one, but okay.
It was the most popular. I think it was in the Bungie Weekly Update one time. Either that or the Halo Bulletin. It was one of those like featured.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
Very nice.
Everyone go look that up.
Sweet. So in the video that got shown off at New York Comic Con, there are a couple of things I wanted to pull out and talk about since they either have been lightly touched on, or they're brand new and highly addressed in the video. If you've already seen it, you already know what I'm talking about. If not, here's a quick rundown on some of the new things that they've introduced into it. The first thing being that with the new metal systems, it's really kind of trying to draw players in the fact that you don't end up with 0 points for you at the end of the game. So you score your own points, which turns into your experience by performing things such as assists, killing someone, and doing other special feats with it. And they designed the metal system to where they have all these medals that you can still kind of rank up without having the best game of your life, or if you're so not the best player.
It's like a participation trophy at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Walked forward. Crouched.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
So
crouch jump.
They're really trying to appeal to those people that may get discouraged at being just completely owned by maybe some Halo pro that manages to slip into your game, especially when the game first comes out when everyone's at similar ranks.
Yeah, I know those people. Casuals.
There's nothing wrong with casuals.
No. But just people who just, they enjoyed Halo and they enjoy the franchise, but they don't get into it as much as the hardcore fans, the people who are probably listening to this podcast right now.
But can't that just be solved by having a ranked and a social, like two separate playlists?
No.
How so?
I mean, look at Call of Duty, and the entire reason that that game is so popular. I mean, you could argue that it's the setting, you know, modern warfare, you know, teens are into that sort of realistic shooter genre thing.
I hear that a lot.
It's also the progressive system. I mean, the progression system in that game kept people around. They came for the modern warfare, but they stayed, you know, to level up and, you know, keep on progressing through that system.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one thing I do need to clarify, because on our last main podcast, we mentioned that we only saw the progression system and we didn't see anything skill-based. Apparently, BS Angel tweeted out, I think probably the day of or day after, to someone else on Twitter, saying that there is skill-based ranks in the game, but they haven't talked about it, and we just don't know if it's going to be a visual representation of skill or if it's just going to be more of a back-end thing where it's going to be used to match people up better in matchmaking.
Yeah, kind of a true skill style ranking system.
Right.
Except even in some true skill systems, you can see your rank.
So I think one of the big things for that is a lot of MLG players want to see that visible skill rank. The Spartan ranks, though, and how they're working with just the progression system is a lot more favorable to the general populace in that you still rank up regardless of how well you play. But the competitive players want that visual confirmation of how they stack up against other players skill-wise. So I'm wondering if we're going to see maybe some kind of secondary skill that might just exist on your player card, and that will be used, or people can use that to compare them to other players. I think that would be the best way to go about it, because when you see your Spartan rank up on the screen for when you're finding players and stuff, I think that's going to be less imposing to the casual players.
Yeah, because even if you see someone with like a 120 Spartan rank, that just means that they played for a long, long time. It
it's like
really
Inheritors
and
Reach.
Basically.
Yeah, like me. Yeah.
I don't know if they'll adopt something like the BPR system that they have.
Which is just KD, basically.
Yeah, it's just your... I don't know exactly how the BPR system works, but I know it has to do with your kill-death ratio a whole lot.
Yeah, well, that's how the experience rank really is pulled out from Halo Reach, is a lot more base skill. And they've kind of changed that with Halo 4, where it's a lot more, you get points more based on objective, which is where we see these medals come into play.
I wonder if they'll have something like the arena again.
Was the arena really that popular in Reach?
Well, I mean,
no,
is it safe
it
to
wasn't.
Say that the arena was kind of a colossal failure in popularity?
I mean, it
People
was supposed
play
to be
it.
Like... Yeah, but I mean, like, as far as it was supposed to be, if you were hardcore into Halo, if you wanted to play, like, really competitively, that was the place to go, and you were going to show up every season and, you know, end up ranking, I don't know.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, like, the go-to place for really competitive players.
I wouldn't say it's a colossal failure, but more of just an experiment gone not so well. Because
people
still...
I think Invasion was
I mean, Invasion
popular.
Wasn't really a failure.
No, it was a cool idea, but just the way it got executed, it could use a little bit more refinement or a few more options on maps.
Yeah. I think Invasion was a little more popular than Arena ever was.
Oh, definitely.
But, I mean, that's kind of comparing apples and oranges. I mean, Arena is a playlist / ranking system where Invasion is actually a game type.
Yeah.
The seasons on Arena never made much sense, though.
Right. What do you mean? Like, there was no point to it?
Yeah, because you would reset after, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah.
So...
I didn't want it to be, like, some kind of, you know... It won't have, like, a sports feel to it. Oh, this new season, you know, like, arena.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it was an interesting concept, and the fact that they experimented with the idea is one thing, but it would be strange if they ever brought that back.
Yeah.
Now, they may go and refine it and maybe make it better, but having something identical to that system that we have in Halo Reach, that's definitely not something in their best interest.
But then again, the arena's unpopularity could just be due to Halo Reach's unpopularity in general. Like if
no,
like
because even at the beginning of Halo Reach, when everyone was getting on board, it was not that popular.
No.
Would it have been better if it was in Halo 3, which was way more popular?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Reach isn't unpopular.
No.
It can be compared to Halo 3.
Well, yeah, but
there's a lot more players on Halo Reach than there was in Halo 3. So it depends on how you define popular. It's Halo 3 was more, I guess, more popular with the existing Halo fan base. But if you look at all the players that play on Halo Reach, there are a significant number more that play Reach than they play on Halo 3.
Isn't that just Xbox Live kind of just expanding? Like, it's just like a, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you have to look at popularity at the whole gaming community together, not just as the people that have been there since the beginning.
I think that's just more of a matter of Xbox Live getting more players over time, like since Halo 3 to Reach, than anything else.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people are going to play Halo Reach that didn't play Halo 3?
A bunch.
I mean, really? Mm-hmm. I know that there is a group of players out there that didn't play Halo 3 and play Halo Reach, but is the number of those players really that big? Is it really significant enough to even consider?
I wouldn't call it necessarily if it's significant, but it's there, at least. Yeah.
It went from, what, 8 million players to, like, 11 million players?
What, Halo, from Halo 3 to Reach?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Bungie put out that graphic. I don't remember the numbers exactly. But it was...
Which I don't really understand, because Halo 3 was the better game. But I guess if Xbox Live has more players overall by 2010, right?
Yes.
In terms of accessibility, Halo Reach is... I mean, in terms of the narrative of the campaign, it's easier to get into than Halo 3. I mean, Halo 3 is a continuation of Halo 1 and 2.
Yeah.
But you could get into Halo Reach without really knowing anything about Halo. I mean, your experience would be diminished, but you could do it.
Yeah.
Because it's not the story of the Master Chief.
And the story kind of wraps itself up in one sitting.
Yeah.
So.
And then you could go from that into playing Halo...
Combat Evolved, which came out the next
anniversary
year.
Edition.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
If you hadn't played that. Now I'm just waiting for Halo 2 HD.
They're definitely making that.
Yeah. I hope so.
Oh, definitely.
Even if it's just the campaign, just high-def Halo 2 sounds good to me.
They'll probably remake the campaign and then make a bunch of, you know, Halo 2 like, homage remake maps for, like, Halo 4 DLC or something.
I just want Relic. That's it. Don't care about the others. Well, maybe Colossus. I want Colossus, Water...
Containment was a good one for me.
Yeah. Just bring them all.
Whenever you do the Halo 2 anniversary, just make sure you do all the maps instead of a set. Right? That'd be pretty sweet. Although it would take quite a bit.
What, like all the Halo 2 maps were made for Halo 4?
Yeah.
That'd be cool, yeah.
That'd be a full 3-year project in and of itself.
Yeah.
Backwash in Halo 4.
Oh my gosh. All right, well, let's get back to the video.
I wasn't there for those days. Talk about some Halo 3 maps.
Neither was I. Moving on in the video, one of the other things that got brought up was the situational record. This is the instant replay that you get whenever you die, and this is in certain game modes, one of which is Dominion. We see that a lot on Longbow. There are other maps that support the game mode, but this is the one they've been showing it off on. And I actually did get to play it once at New York Comic Con, and it's really interesting how it flows. it's basically a spin off of territories. And what you have to do is you have to capture these bases, and then they get fortified. And during that fortification period, you see shields come up, turrets come up on the base. And then after it's completely fortified, every 30 seconds or so, you get a supply drop, which can contain vehicles, weapons, grenades, armor mods, all that nice stuff.
Ooh.
And then once you capture the, if you manage to capture the three bases, you go into what's called a last stand mode. Everyone on the other team gets instant overshields, and they have to capture at least one base in order to keep the game going. If all of the other team dies before they can capture one of the bases, the team that has all the bases instantly wins. If no one is able to capture all the bases, then it's the first to a set score limit or time limit, and the score is based off of getting points on resupplies. So at least this is what I was able to tell from when I played. So if you have two bases, you get 20 points at the time of resupply. If the resupplies are on the same timing. Each base can have its own independent resupply, so you could get 10 points for one resupply at one base, and then 5 seconds later get another 10 points for another resupply at another base. So that, I believe, at least on the mode that we were playing at the time, is 250 points. So either it's that, I think 10 or 12 minutes, or eliminating the other team while holding all three bases.
That seems preferable to just waiting out the entire game.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like playing Capture the Flag, and you scored like one flag, and then your entire team decides to play defense. Just wait out the 15 minutes or whatever.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, it'd be really long.
It's happened before. I've been in games like that.
Oh, really? That's just kind of like a stalemate after the first flag? Oh, I guess
It was so like evenly matched that after we had just scored one flag, we decided to just wait out the rest of the match.
I guess that's one way to do it.
Playing D.
Defense.
Right. It'll be interesting to see what kind of strategies people will be coming up with for this new game type.
Mm-hmm.
Because we obviously know like strategies for Capture the Flag and territories and assault and things like that.
Well, it's interesting because when I played it, we actually managed to capture all three bases three times, but we were never able to kill everybody. Someone would actually be able to get in and capture one of the other bases, and it would always get down to one or two guys left. So it is actually harder than it seems to get all the bases and kill everyone, just because they have overshields instantly given to them. So
they have a little bit of an advantage going in to a base.
Right.
Due to their overshield. But if you have a good team, theoretically they'll be able to take out the guy with the overshield.
Yeah. And one of the big things that they brought up about doing or trying to hold all three bases is that you're spread out over quite a big play area. And that's why it makes it a lot easier for one team to kind of come back and take a base, because you usually have two bases, you're pressing on one from two sides, and then by the time you capture that third one, they're already back on the other side of one of your other two bases, which kind of keeps that flow going back and forth. So it's actually really difficult to keep that all in one sitting.
I forget, is it like 5v5 or 6v6?
The ones that we were playing at Comic-Con were 6v6.
Okay.
So it's like Invasion.
No, it's not like Invasion.
Well, you know, the team size, at least.
Well, that's the only aspect that's similar, but...
Okay.
Sure.
Squad Battle from Halo 3, if you want to go even further back.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, there you go.
So the kill cams are called sit-rex in Halo 4. That's what they call them. Situational record, sit-rex.
Sit-rex.
Yep.
Not a sit rep?
Nope. Yeah. Sit rex.
Like a, you know, sit up rep. Good rep. You know, working your abs out.
Yes.
Get those Spartan abs going. People have noted that, like, Spartans in Halo 4 have noticeably uncovered abdomens compared to other games. Like, the COD piece isn't as noticeable.
Right.
So, you gotta work those out, you know. Gotta be bulletproof.
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to the whole, like, debate/controversy of Master Chief's, like, COD piece or whatever?
Oh, well, I mean, since it got put back in and they basically said it was just for the video sequence, people are okay with it.
What? Why ever knew that for the video sequence? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe a rendering error.
That's an interesting rendering error.
Forgot to load the texture.
All right.
Meltdown was officially announced. We talked about Meltdown, I think, I don't think it was last week's show, but the week before then. IGN accidentally leaked out Meltdown. They put up a video and didn't exactly intend to put it up.
Oops.
But we now have it officially announced in the video, and
wonderful.
Like I said before, it looks very much like Icefields from Halo PC.
Well, can I point out that they said that there is a Mantis?
Or yes, there is a Mantis.
Mantises can be placed on Meltdown.
That was what I was going to say next. The Mantis is on Meltdown. Rejoice, people.
Yay, Mantis. Yay. Get your plasma pistols out.
Those things are deadly, and they're hard to control, too, when you're shooting at vehicles. Shooting at people, it's easy. But when you're shooting at vehicles and that thing, it's not as easy as you think. I have some video footage that I recorded that will show that. What were you saying?
I mean, it's kind of the same way with a scorpion.
If
you see someone running at you on the field, you know, it's easy to take them out. But with a scorpion, like...
Well, it's a little different. I don't know. Yeah, it's a little different with a mantis, because if you want to fire the missiles and the machine gun at the same time, the machine gun, you're shooting straight at the vehicle because the bullets... It's almost instantaneous to hit the vehicle. But if you're shooting the missile pod, those are a lot slower, so you have to anticipate. You can't do both of those at the same time.
You can't lead your target and shoot it directly at the same time. Yeah,
right, and that's the challenge of the Mantis. It's a balancing feature, but it's something that makes the Mantis an interesting vehicle to drive.
I haven't used it, but to me it seems like chain gun is for infantry. You know, Spartans running around, and missiles are for vehicles.
The chain gun still does a good amount of damage to warthogs and mongoose and ghosts.
Well, I mean, just like, in general.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you can kill infantry with missiles and destroy a vehicle with the chain gun. But, I mean, if I see somebody in front of me, I'm probably going to chain gun them down. If I see a vehicle coming at me, I'm going to try to, you know, missile pod.
Right.
Yep. Who's going to win, Mantis or Scorpion?
It depends.
Mantis in the right spot is a one-hit kill to the... Scorpion with the one-shot to the right place on the Mantis is a one-shot kill.
Is that one place the cod piece?
I don't know.
But I hope so.
I take that back. Depending on how weak it is, like, it can... If the shields are out quite a bit, a well-placed shot from the Scorpion can take it out, from what I've been told.
Strategy. Get someone to plasma pistol the Mantis. And then have someone else in a Scorpion.
Another thing is, if the Mantis is on fire, then one shot with a tank will definitely blow it up.
The Mantis.
Or the railgun.
The Mantis on fire.
Or the laser. And all those nice powerful weapons.
I mean, you can laser a tank with one shot.
Yeah.
Wraith or Scorpion.
Well, in Reach, that's not surefire. Halo 3, it actually worked like it was supposed to, but in Halo Reach, the laser is not reliable.
Yeah, I never used the laser that much in Reach, so I don't know.
Yeah, I use it a lot.
But I remember in Halo 3, like, if you shot a Scorpion through the canopy with a laser, like, it'd blow up.
Oh, yeah. It blew things up in Halo 3. In Halo Reach, it definitely does not do that. King of the Hill was announced to be coming back into Halo 4. We don't have any footage for that specifically, but they did say in the video that King of the Hill was coming back. And David Ellis mentioned during the Spartan Ops section of the video that the choices that you make in Spartan Ops can actually directly affect what will happen in future episodes of Spartan Ops.
Well, do they mean like those changes will be for everyone, or like you're on...
No, it's path. For you. Okay. It's for your story in Spartan.
So it's like Fallout, right? Like you're making choices. Okay.
Yes.
That's cool.
But I found it interesting that they're making it a unique experience for everyone. And the major storyline is not going to be the thing that changes. It's going to be little things here and there where you may see some Spartans, if they die during a combat scene or something, that they won't appear in a future episode, or maybe that one switch you hit back all the way back then activates something in the future episode that may make it easier or harder for you. It might be little things like that where it's not a major game changer, but it creates a unique experience for your Spartan Ops career.
Yeah.
Kind of Mass Effect style, in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as influential as the choices you made in Mass Effect, but...
Right.
I mean, you could start Mass Effect 3 with a whole bunch of people dead.
Mm-hmm.
That would either, you know, show up in that game or not show up.
Exactly. All right. That's pretty much the video. Did you guys have anything else that you kind of caught that we want to discuss? Or I think I hit all the major new points that the video introduced.
I like the visual aesthetic of Meltdown. I don't know if I like the map itself, but right now my wallpaper is the third screenshot for Meltdown in the bulletin.
Nice.
Looks cool.
Meltdown does look cool. All right, moving on to the Halo bulletin that came out yesterday, as of this recording. There are a couple things. We got Meltdown that got introduced, and what Brent just said, we got the screenshots. They go into some detail on how they kind of laid out the map, what their ideas were for the maps, making it very vehicle-focused, kind of focusing on doing stuff with Dominion and other big team battle game types. So you can check out the screenshots, which look really, really cool. And some of the descriptions that they put up here kind of describing the design into the map. They also have a picture showing off how the Master Chief model has evolved from Halo CE to Halo 4, which is a really interesting comparison, believe it or not.
Well, Halo 2 just looks like Halo 1, and Halo 3 just looks like Halo 2. And Halo Reach just looks like Halo 3, and Halo 4 just looks like Halo Reach.
I don't know. So. The gap between Halo CE and Halo 2 seems quite substantial. The gap between Halo 2 and Halo 3, not as much, and then the gap between Halo 3 and Halo 4 is even... maybe it's a little bit greater change than from Halo 2 to Halo 3.
What I thought was interesting is that Halo CE and Halo 3 kind of... The change from Halo 3 to Halo 4 looks similar kind of in just the detailing of the model that Halo CE to Halo 2 kind of look like. Because Halo 2 just took the Halo CE model and extremely refined it, made it more detailed, right? Then in Halo 3, you have this kind of...
It looks... Well, to me, it looks vastly different.
Oh, yeah, the Halo 2 model.
Especially the visor.
The Halo CE model looks so blocky.
Yeah. I mean, look at the difference. Look at the polygon count.
It's like Halo 2, the model had the framework for the 1 and 3, and then 3 they really refined it and polished it up.
But I mean, Halo CE, they didn't know that it was going to be the hit that it was going to be. They didn't know that Halo was going to be this massive franchise, right?
No,
Halo 2 had a much bigger budget than Halo CE did. You know, so obviously the changes are going to be much more dramatic. I'm just saying in terms of what they done, you know, I mean, you could make a argument that the Halo 2 Spartan is more detailed in a way than the Halo 3 Spartan. The Halo 3 Master Chief looks very obviously it's high definition, simple. But it's just kind of a simplistic design. I mean, you look at that and then you look at the Halo 4 Master Chief, which is, you know, much more detailed, a lot more modeling done, just kind of like that. And that kind of reminds me of the change from CE to Halo 2. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Okay. You can definitely see the increase in polygon counts, though.
Well, yeah. You can also see the increase in years.
Yeah.
You can also see the increase in game numbers. I mean that's just obvious.
Yeah.
If it looked worse in Halo 4 than it did Halo 3, we'd be in trouble right now. I mean,
right.
It'd be interesting to see, like, if they put a Halo, like, I mean, the Halo Reach Spartan between Halo 3 and Halo 4, just to kind of show you. I mean, obviously they don't have a Master Chief to put in there. Well, they do kind of.
Just make a Spartan with the model Mark 6 armor.
Well, they had a model of the Master Chief in Reach.
Oh, the cryopod.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that was a. Well, I don't
Chief
know.
Chief Linda, who knows?
Wasn't that just?
I don't know if it was a full model, but
wasn't that just a Reach Spartan wearing Mark 6 armor? Pretty much, I mean. Right?
You could have a Reach Spartan wearing Mark 5 armor or Mark 6 armor and just put him up against Master Chief from Halo 3.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Well, we also have the redone version from the Anniversary.
Yeah.
Remake. So that one actually has a lot more detail. The biggest gap to me is definitely from Halo CE to Halo 2. And the smallest gap is from Halo 2 to Halo 3, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, that was the jump from SD to HD.
Right.
Yep.
But still, that being this, I guess, yeah, if they just took the same models and just increased polygon count, maybe.
I'm not going to lie, though, I like the visor in Halo 2 better than the visor in Halo 3. It's shinier.
Yeah, his Halo 2 visor looks kind of grimy. You know what I mean? Kind of like glossy.
I like them shiny. Mm.
Shiny turds. All right. The next section we have is they put up the trailer of the Halo 4 Mantis, which has been out for quite some time. We actually did a video review of it. They do go into detail, however, of kind of how they brainstormed the Mantis out, kind of putting on armor pieces, attaching them to a Spartan, introducing the weapons, and kind of going from a Spartan with accessories on it to a Spartan that has armor plates, and then the Spartan in a suit, and then they just ended up with this mech.
Well, it kind of looks like the mech from Aliens, like the original design as far as just having a Spartan in a suit.
Hmm. I haven't watched Aliens, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, people are probably...
Like the entire end scene where Sigourney Weaver is fighting the mother alien. And she's like, "Get away from her, you bitch!" And like she's in this mech that looks kind of like the mech that the Chief is in, that concept art.
Okay. Mentioning Sigourney Weaver makes me think of the mech from Avatar. That's used by the evil general guy toward the end.
Well, I mean, right. James Cameron made the original. I mean,
right.
Ridley Scott worked on what, Aliens, but James Cameron was on Alien. Am I right or am I wrong? I know an Aliens fan out there is gonna hate me now.
Well, they probably already hate me for not having watched it.
But I mean,
yeah, I haven't seen the Alien movies either.
Halo, as far as like the Pelican and Marine design, gets a lot of its inspiration from Aliens and Starship Troopers. It really does.
Okay, fair enough.
Like the Pelican is, I mean, if you've seen Avatar, there is basically a Pelican in that movie, but there's also a Pelican in Aliens.
There's a Pelican and a Hornet.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a giant Pelican that shoots cool missiles. Destroys a big tree. Best scene in that entire movie. Like, I would have been disappointed in that movie if that scene wasn't there. Yes, I loved it. Like, I was disappointed the entire movie.
Because I
didn't go in for the narrative. Like, I'd already been informed that it was basically like Pocahontas for a new generation. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that movie. I came in for the cool 3D effects. You know, I wanted to see, you know, James Cameron spent a whole bunch of money on those 3D effects. So I went to IMAX to watch it while I was in Dallas because I wanted to get the real experience. And the effects were cool, but the only scene in that movie that really utilized those effects to their full extent was the tree falling down after they shoot the missiles at it. Like, those Hellfire missiles were cool.
Fair enough. They were pretty cool. I'll give you that much.
And watching the ashes, you know, fall down around, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The next probably shortest section that we've seen in the bulletin so far is titled Section 3, and I'm guessing it's a medal of some kind. It says, "Please remember to take out the garbage." And if you click on the image, you get a PNG, and it looks really messed up. But if you open it in a text editor, you can see that it just has garbage written all inside the code base for the image. So I don't exactly know what this is a play on for, but yeah, that's there if you're interested.
I think it would have been more interesting if they didn't say, "Please remember to take out the garbage," and just waited for someone to figure out that there was a bunch of garbage text in there.
Well, that's what there is. It's garbage text.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying they basically, like, that clue by itself help the process along. It was too fast. I mean, Neo or Halo Gaff had already figured it out within like in 2 hours of Bulletin coming out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just clicked on the image and then I'm like, this doesn't look like anything. Throw it in a text editor. And I found, it says garbage. I don't know if there's like some more hidden meaning behind it or.
Well, according to Halo Gaff, the image that you get after you take the garbage out is a forerunner glyph for the letter K.
Oh, I didn't try that.
And then there's there's some other forerunner glyphs that kind of connect to that image like a puzzle piece, and something about entering it into the terminal on Halo Waypoint. I'm not exactly sure how that works, but I think at the end of whatever, there's going to be a password that you'll be able to enter into a terminal and maybe
get some extra story info. Well, looking at that now, interesting. I'm glad you pointed that out. So I got the first step, I just didn't get the second step. That's interesting. Because we also at the... I don't remember if it was at the end of the video that they showed for Infinity Multiplayer or if it was at another video that they showed at Comic-Con. But there was an image, one of those images from the terminal on Waypoint that popped up at one of the end of the videos. So they're obviously still using that for something. This makes me wonder if there's any of the other images somewhere hidden on Waypoint that actually contain some of these other characters. Maybe.
I think that they pointed out a few images that they've found so far on Halo Gaff.
Can you link me the thread after the show? I want to see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can find the exact page, though, because that thread moves so quickly.
I'll dig through the thread.
I'll try to find it.
Okay.
While we're talking.
The next section is talking about the skulls. We have skulls back. Yay. So these are the difficulty multipliers that you get in the Halo campaign. They're all unlocked at the start, so you don't have to worry about going through it and unlocking them like you did in Halo 3. And the skulls are Famine, Tilt, Mythic, Catch, Black Eye, Tough Luck, Iron, Thunderstorm, Cloud, Cowbell, I Would Have Been Your Daddy, Grunt Birthday Party, and Blind. There's no new skulls. These are all ones that we've seen in the past. So just have fun. I know the Mythic Tyrant is going to have fun using all of these skulls for his Mythic run-throughs. And we're probably going to see more challenges that involve Lasso.
Lasso yes. Sucked.
Actually did the weekly last night.
Wow.
Good job.
That's impressive.
Got it done in about 100 minutes.
Wow.
Excellent.
And finally, to wrap up the bulletin is the pumpkin contest that they've had. They've taken the Guilt-O-Lantern contest that they've done, or that Bungie did in the past, and they're putting their own twist on it. So they have some designs that you can print out and use to help kind of carve out some things for your pumpkin, if you want to do that. I still need to go find a pumpkin somewhere so I can carve the thing I want to carve into it. But if you're into that kind of thing, definitely check out the bottom of the bulletin.
I wonder if anybody can, like, carve a mantis into a pumpkin. Would you automatically win?
I don't think there's a physical mantis that you can get a hold of.
Well, I mean, like, just carve the image of a mantis into a pumpkin.
I'm not exactly sure how that would work.
Me neither.
To be perfectly honest. Okay.
Just an idea.
All right. Fair enough. So, it's time to get on to some of your guys' submissions that you've sent over the past week. And to start it off, we have Trip Diesel. He sends in, "Hey guys, the 2-hour podcasts are great. Don't worry so much about keeping the podcast under a time limit. Tangents are great, too. It's cool to hear
I told
what...
you that they're great, Dusty. Come on.
Some people like them, some people don't. I'll just leave it at that. It's cool to hear whatever the conversation goes. Glad to hear Brent's back on the podcast. I missed that guy when he left. Dustin is a great host. Is he holding this whole show together?
Yes.
Daft is a good co-host. It's funny to hear him interact with Daft. Oh, great.
Dustin is holding the whole show together. It's true.
Yeah.
He brings in every guest host. He schedules every show. He makes sure we're here. He is the essence and the soul of Podtacular.
He is the Elmer's glue that holds the Podtacular Arts and Craft project together.
The Gorilla Glue.
That's funny. That's good. He goes on to say, are you guys taking the day off work to play Halo 4 on launch day?
Probably not.
Yes.
My mom would probably get pissed at me if I took school off to play a video game. As much as I'd love to.
I already have leave taken off for Thursday and Friday to go to Dallas for MLG Dallas, and then I fly out Monday to New York, and then I fly back on Tuesday back home. So I have a block of about a week of leave to take.
Yeah. What I plan to do is go to the midnight launch at my local GameStop, get the game, basically play it all night until after leave for school at like 6:30 in the morning.
Ooh.
And then just go to school and then come home and play it some more. I'd love to say how long is
school for you for that day?
You know, regular day, it's like starts at 7, get out at 2.
Ooh. So you're going to get sleep like till like from 7 to 11 or something, kind of catch up there and then go to the launch, or you just going to do an all-nighter and just kind of wing it?
It's an interesting point.
So what if you catch strep throat on release day?
I'd stay home and play it.
What if you caught meningitis on release day?
I'd stay home and play it.
Okay, we're going a little much into the hypotheticals here.
That's an interesting point. It's like, I guess it depends on how much homework I have, but at that point, shouldn't I do my homework like at school, right, before I come home to go to the midnight launch?
You should.
Yeah. And then I guess I could sleep, although I would be afraid of oversleeping, but as long as I set an alarm, I guess.
Set I was four in the alarms same... for Halo 4. No? No laughs? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I can't do it because I don't have a claptrap robot voice.
I stayed, not when Halo Reach came out, but like after it came out, like the couple weeks after it was out, I played it like so much, like all afternoon. And then sometimes I would even stay up all night just playing Halo Reach like all night because it was so much fun. But then my mom started getting pissed at me about that, so.
It happens.
So I remember back when Halo 3 came out, I expected like half my school to not show up. And there were actually not that many people that, like, didn't show up to school that day, but I definitely noticed some people that I thought would be missing that weren't there on release day. But, anyway, my school had, like, a ban on shirts with guns on it or whatever, but I always wore a hoodie up there that had, like, the picture of the Master Chief from Halo 2, like, dual-wielding the SMGs.
Oh, yeah.
But the great thing about the hoodie was that the picture was, like, right in the middle of the hoodie where the zipper is. So whenever I needed to, I could just unzip the hoodie and you would never know that there was a chief holding the guns there. It was great.
Wow.
It was like black and white, too. It was the coolest hoodie I ever had, and I don't know where it went, so.
Aw, that's too bad.
Makes me sad.
Back to the submission. He says, do you think specializations are a positive change for the series, or are they just trying to appeal to the Call of Duty crowd?
I know, right?
What do you think of 343 putting both DMR and BR in the same game? I think it will be fine as long as there are some distinct differences between them, but I'm not sure how different they can make them. Will the DMR have Bloom and the BR won't? Keep on fragging trucks. Specializations are an interesting spin-off of... it kind of is maybe leaning towards the Call of Duty fans, but I think they've put enough unique twist on having the specializations introduce the different armor pieces, the different armor mods that you can add, having the emblems that you can use to really just, it fits in the core experience of Halo. There have been some discussions of whether or not they're balanced, like taking the one that you can what it says is regen health slowly on vehicles, and then having the guy with the faster cooldown rate for chain guns and stuff like that. There has been discussions about that being unbalanced, but I don't really see how unbalanced it's going to be. I'm pretty sure 343 is taking a lot of time into making sure those things will play nicely with players on just about every skill level at any point in the game.
Well, people are going to think that the game's unbalanced when we rock their face with BRs.
Well, that's just because we're good, right?
Because we're awesome.
Yeah. I can't help that we're just a stellar team.
Can't help that we're awesome.
Yeah. You
know, can't stop it.
To answer your next set of questions, having the BR and the DMR in the game is actually, it fits really well. There have been instances where I've played with a BR and I definitely got outshot with a DMR from long range and vice versa. And they actually do play specific roles. Now, you can master a DMR and beat someone with the BR at close range if their aim is not as good, but more times than likely, you're going to have someone with a BR beat out a DMR at a little bit closer range, and the DMR outbeat the BR at a little bit further range out. And it's something that you can actually feel when you play the game. I definitely just felt a distinct difference between the two, and I played at Comic-Con this last weekend.
Well, I think that's important, that player skill still comes into effect when you're in a match. You know, theoretically, if you're out in long range and you're not as skilled of a player as I am and you don't know how to get headshots like a hardcore
like a pro
player would.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a pro, but I've played a long time. That's why I'm decent at Halo. I'm not a pro. I'm not that great at Halo. I can still get my, you know,
you're definitely
ass whipped,
above average.
But I'm a little bit above average. So when I play against someone who hasn't played as much, you know, I'm probably going to beat them at a headshot battle. So, I mean, even if they're out in range and I can, you know, BR them in the face, theoretically, I can beat them even if they have a DR and they're in perfect DR or DMR
right.
range.
Right. And part of it, but if you go to people that are similarly skilled, you can definitely tell which one is going to outplay the other.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the point. I mean,
right.
if you're playing against someone with similar skill and they have a sniper rifle and you had a BR or a DMR, it doesn't matter which, they would beat you. No joke.
Yeah.
At range. Now, I mean, if I'm in similar skill and you don't know how to, you know, just no-scope like a crazy person, you know, I can probably beat you with a DMR.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the point of the Halo balancing of guns. And as you add more guns to the mix, it's going to be harder to balance. That's the problem that 343 has to deal with, you know. They've added a bunch of guns now.
Yeah, and most of the starting ones are pretty well balanced or fit a certain role, which is what they've been saying for quite a while now.
And what's interesting is we've been talking about BR versus DMR, and no one's talking about the light rifle. You know?
I mean, a lot of the competitive players are.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, you go into just discussions with people who aren't just thinking about it. Like, they're like, yeah, BR is going to destroy DMR. No, DMR is going to destroy BR. No, I mean, there's a third weapon. There's
yeah,
a light
I
rifle.
Think, no, I think that's just because BR versus DMR has been a really strong debate for a long time, but it's never been able to be, like, fully realized. And now it finally is because they're in the same game for once. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
But now you have a weapon that basically performs both roles kind of in its own way.
But that's still off to the side.
It's not. I don't know. When I played over the weekend, I could not get a handle of the light rifle. I had to stick to the DMR-BR because that's what I was comfortable with.
But a lot of people didn't, you know, get a hold of the BR back in Halo 2 days. But they eventually got really, really good with it. A lot of people couldn't use the DMR effectively when Halo Reach first came out.
Yeah.
And now they'll tell you that they love the DMR more than they like the BR.
But Daft has a point. It's what has been out there before, and it's what people are going to compare to. Yeah, there is the light rifle, and if you listen to a lot of the talk that the pro players are talking about, they love the light rifle because it has that 3-shot burst when unzooming, then that 1-shot when you're focused in that deals a lot more damage. And it goes back to a mastery of weapons. Which weapons can you master and which ones fit your playstyle? Which is exactly what 343 is trying to play on the new weapon system and the medals and the specialization, the armor mods, the tactical support packages. Yeah.
I think it's just because, like, I mean, light rifle is new. You know, most Halo players haven't even touched it yet, whereas the BR and the DMR both have their own unique legacies in the history of the game. And that's always been such a strong argument, which one's ultimately better. And now we can finally have that argument in the same game because they're both in it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, while you're having that argument, there's also going to be a third faction coming in with the light rifle.
Well, Well, the carbine's back, too.
Your argument.
Carbine. I mean, people always forget about the carbine. It's like,
yeah.
Back in Halo 3, it's like everyone's like, oh, you know, perfect your BR force shots. Like, no, screw that. Like, how about, you know, perfect your carbine, right?
Well, I mean, according to 343, carbine has the best long-range accuracy of all of the
weapons.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's
so.
It feels nice. It feels nice. So, who wants to take the next one?
I can.
Go for it.
Shadow says, I haven't heard you speak of the Halo 4 Mountain Dew drink in any of the podcasts yet, but I got my hands on some now, and it tastes just like the Halo 3 Mountain Dew when it was released. Yeah, I wonder if it's from the same batch. I remember the same taste, and it brings me back. So have you tried it yet? If so, what's your saying about it? Later, PodTech, and Halo 4 is officially around the corner. Can't wait.
Indeed,
so
it is.
The thing with the Mountain Dew and the Doritos, right? They're basically saying, here, get fat. We'll give you double XP.
Well, the thing is, most gamers drink Mountain Dew to begin
Which
with.
Which is why we're all fat.
We're not all fat.
Oh, no. It's stereotype.
Your words, not mine.
It's gamer grub, right?
Your words, not mine.
It's gamer grub.
So, Brent stepped away for a second, so I will read the next one, and I'll have him read the last one.
You don't have any thoughts on the Mountain Dew? That's it?
I don't drink sodas.
Promotion, but the promotion itself, I mean, you're going to have people...
Oh, well, yeah, the promotion...
What if this is an economic stimulus? Think about it, because everyone's going to be buying so much Mountain Dew and Doritos when Halo 4 comes out, like the convenience stores will be rich.
Yes, PepsiCo and Frito-Lay will be rich. And they will spend millions of dollars on... I have no clue. Potatoes and corn.
And corn syrup, yeah, sugar, yes. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't do anything similar to this with Halo 3. I mean, they made game fuel, but buying game fuel didn't give you an advantage in the game. I don't think they had a promotion with Doritos, I'm not sure.
No, they didn't, not that I know of.
I know that there's like a lot of people complaining that they're promoting obesity or unhealthy living. You know,
they're a business.
Sitting around playing Halo is unhealthy.
You're not going to give away codes though on wraps of lettuce.
I want to see someone do
that. Yeah, that would be cool. Like Dole bananas or something. Like
eat.
Yeah, it would be
and play games.
It would be funny.
Fage Greek yogurt, like.
But if you think about it, that's what gamers usually go for, is Mountain Dew and chips like Doritos.
Yeah, because we're all slobs.
Well, if anything, not all of us, but most of us.
It's just harkening back to the popularity of the Game Fuel promotion.
It's those 25-year-old guys that live in their mother's basements.
Or in the dorms. I mean, it's college dorm food, essentially. Right?
Like I parties hate it. And, like, all of it. I haven't tasted Mountain or Halo 4 Game Fuel, but Halo 3 Game Fuel was... nasty. I didn't like it. It tasted like bubblegum Mountain Dew to me. I was like, this doesn't work. But I know a lot of people loved it.
You're ruining my appetite.
I thought it was actually kind of tasty, the Mountain Dew Game Fuel.
Do you know if like you can get the promotion with like any other flavor? Because Code Red is my favorite Mountain Dew.
Code Red is pretty good. Is it? Actually, it's
cherry Mountain Dew.
No, I think it's just the one.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically making you buy disgusting Mountain Dew.
They actually had bottles of the Game Fuel up on the stage during the panel that they had for Halo 4 at New York Comic Con, and then they just gave them away.
Oh, nice. What was the name of that one? Didn't Coca-Cola make, like, it's on Mountain Dew? Not all yellow, but it was called, like, Vault or something. Like, it was green a couple years ago.
Wasn't that Pepsi?
Yeah, what? I remember.
I don't think it was Coca-Cola. I think it was either Pepsi or Dr. Pepper.
But why would Pepsi make that? Because they already have Mountain Dew. It was like a Mountain Dew competitor. It's called
Pepsi,
Vault or something.
Pepsi or Mountain... Yeah, I think it was Pepsi or Dr. Pepper.
Vault. Yeah, Vault was pretty good, I thought.
When I have
I
to
don't
drink...
Know. I don't drink
drinks,
sodas.
I get Amp.
Amp.
Which is Mountain Dew with extra vitamin B, basically. And extra caffeine.
I don't drink sodas or energy drinks, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I know it was Vault, but it wasn't spelled Vault like the electricity is spelled Vault like a vault you open.
Yeah, Vault, over a hurdle or something.
Whatever happened to that? Just like fizzle out.
Well, nobody liked it.
I liked it. Oh yeah,
liked it, and then they didn't. So
yeah, it says Wikipedia. Coca-Cola. It was started in 2005 and discontinued in 2011. Yeah, I liked it.
It's like Surge. You remember Surge?
Surge. Well, there's Surge on the related products. Yeah.
That's gone. Goodness now, gracious.
No one can ever compete with Mountain Dew. I mean, Mellow Yellow, that failed, right? And
Mellow Yellow is still around.
It's still around, but it doesn't beat Mountain Dew.
But, I mean, it's not like Surge or Vault. It still exists. You can buy it if you want to.
Yeah, some Subways have Mellow Yellow.
All right. Moving on. Next submission comes from Paul, or Duty Bound, actually. He says, Frank's cameo made it in the whole video. Awesome. Wait, whole video? It just made it in the video. Episode 2 of For Dawn to Dawn. Yeah, but moving on, the only input I have on this one is that there are two reasons why I think Thomas fell. Now, this is at the very end of the episode. One is that the cryo is probably having more negative effect on him than was anticipated. And two is maybe that he was overwhelmed by the thoughts of brother and mom at war, like PTSD. My guess is the cryo because it seems to be a key point in the plot so far. And we actually mentioned the first one, that's part of the cryo, like the damage that he's taken to his body from the cryo training. And then the second one was just the kind of overjoy and the kind of adrenaline rush of actually going out and being victorious in the exercise, and then he just kind of collapses. Big theory is, though, it has to do with the cryo training.
Yeah. He's got some freezer burn going on.
Oh, very much so. You want to take the last one, Brent?
Yes.
Do it.
Kaiser says, Hey guys, I've only been listening for about a month, but I love the cast. My question pertains to lore. I've played all the Halo games since Combat Evolved, but it's been a long time since I've played the story of each game. So I was wondering, what should I do to catch myself up on the story as a refresher for Halo 4, because I want to make sure I'm fully educated before 4 comes out. Any suggestions on what I should do besides playing the game or skimming through the wikis? Thanks in advance, and keep up the awesome work.
So, in response to this, we actually had another submission that was actually a direct contact to me, not a submission. And they were wondering if we would do a show to kind of go over the storylines of the 3, or I guess 5 games, and is this something that you guys would be interested in doing?
Yes. Just as long as we don't have to go over Halo Wars, because I didn't play it.
No, we're not doing... I mean, no offense to the guys that play Halo Wars, but we're just going to focus on the Bungie titles here.
Yes. The good games.
So, we'll do...
No, I'm just joking. I've never played it, so I don't know.
We will do that either next week or the week after.
Okay.
So, we will look into doing that for you guys. In the meantime, if you want to go ahead and get a jumpstart on it, the Mythic Tyrant actually did a full run-through of all the games that you can check out on his channel, Mythic Tyrant. And a while back, I want to say, not last Christmas, but the Christmas before, on my personal YouTube channel, I did a complete run through of the Halo games as well. I did a complete chronological run through. I started with Halo Reach, then I did Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo ODST, and then Halo 3. So you can either check out Mythic Tyrant on his run through, or you can check out mine, which is on my personal YouTube. Good luck finding it. So that you can either do that, or we will do a show here in the not too distant future. And that pretty much wraps up the show. You guys have any last comments?
I am completely ready to play Halo 4. I can't wait any longer.
I am so ready.
I know that I have to.
I have a comment. I was on the Wikipedia page for Mountain Dew just now, and there's a picture of some billboard for Mountain Dew from like the 1940s or 50s or something, and it's got this slogan. It's like, Mountain Dew, it'll tickle your innards.
Yeah. It had a hillbilly.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the point, was that Mountain Dew is an innuendo for moonshine.
Right.
And who makes moonshine? Hillbillies. So, apparently... So
moonshine!
Moonshine! Give me some of that white lightning. yeah.
Okay, then. We'll wrap the show up, then. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. This has been episode 321 of Podtacular. You can find us on our website, podtacular.com, and while you're there, you can check out our forums. You can also find us on Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular, Facebook at facebook.com/podtacular, and on YouTube at youtube.com/podtactv, where I actually just finished up an analysis video of the Halo 4 Forge videos that came out on GameSpot last week. You can also check us out every Monday, well, for the next two Mondays. For Meta Knight Matchmaking, we will be doing those for the next two Mondays and then taking the next Monday off because that will be the night coming up to the Halo 4 launch. We start off in Halo Reach and then we, at a majority vote, we'll go over to Halo 3 after about 2 hours or so. So we start off with matchmaking, then we do a few customs, and then we head over to Halo 3. So with that said, thank you guys very much again for listening to our show, and we will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging those trucks.
Keep on fragging Mountain Dew and Doritos.